Hello. Ooh. Hello. It's our Halloween episode. Halloween. Spooky, 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 spooky.
This is Stephanie.
And this is Natalie.
And this is our Halloween episode.
Yes. Welcome. Welcome, friends.
Welcome.
Pull up a tombstone. Take a load off.
Ah, stop it. I don't like that one. That's scary.
No.
So, why do we love being scared?
Tell us.
Why do we love being scared? Is it the thrill? Is it knowing that you're safe in your room with
Brains.
with your pets and your snacks, and nothing can actually hurt you?
Snacks.
Well, today, in honor of the Halloween season, we want to share some of our favorite spooky stories.
They're all true, by the way, because we don't like fake news here.
And you love facts.
I only like facts.
You love facts.
I don't want any of these fictional tales.
That's right.
These are real.
We want the real.
For real people.
Real terror.
Terror.
Real terror. So join us.
But don't join us.
Don't be scared. Okay, so I came here tonight with two stories. Are you ready to hear the first story?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
This is the story of the human doll.
Oh, hell.
So, there was this man named Carl Tanzler. He was German. I don't know what year he was born, but it was like early 1900s. And he... eventually, when he was like middle-aged, he moved to the United States to work as a radiology technician.
When it was easy to just be an immigrant to the U.S.
Get a job, like a good one. So he moved to Key West, Florida, and he was working at the Marine Hospital Service, whatever that is. I don't actually know what that is, but that's what I read. When Carl was little, when he was a little lad... in Germany, he used to have dreams about the love of his life, who he was going to meet in the future. And she was this beautiful, dark-haired woman, mystery woman. And he always kind of kept that with him, like, oh, one day I'm going to meet her. So he moves to Florida, and he's working at this hospital. And the year is 1930, when all the hospital equipment was extra creepy looking.
Oh, my God. It's just like a bunch of needles that go into your eyes.
So Carl was working at the Marine Hospital, and one day this beautiful dark-haired girl walks in for treatment.
Like, at this point, it could be anyone.
Pretty much.
As long as you have dark hair.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's like, oh, I love you.
And keep in mind, this guy's married. He's married to a German
Aren't
woman.
They all?
But I don't think they lived together. They had kind of a strange relationship. So in walks this beautiful woman, and he's like, heart eyes. Oh, my God. Her name was Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos.
Of course.
And she was Cuban, my people. She was only 22. And the reason she was in the hospital is because she had complications from tuberculosis, unfortunately. And that's not, you know, back then it was no joke. And it was usually fatal, which is sad because she was so young.
Oh, so COVID.
Pretty much.
The COVID of their time.
Yeah, pretty much. So he took a very personal interest in her health. And he... even though he wasn't even, like, a doctor, he was a radiology technician. He was like, I'll handle this.
Well, they think they can do anything.
And so he like, took it upon himself to help her and, like, give her special treatments. I would not have been letting Mr. Tanzler do that to my child. I'm sorry. Get away from me. You're not a doctor.
Well, she's 22.
And he was obsessed with her. Obsessed. And he even would, like, go visit her at her house and, like, bring her gifts and flowers.
I don't see what's wrong with it. You keep saying,
he's like, at this point, he's, like, 50, 55.
Ooh.
And he's just...
just kidding. We're not judging with you, 40 y 20.
40.
Jose Jose fans who love ageless love.
So then she died. Spoiler alert. She died. The tuberculosis got her. Poor thing. Mr. Tanzler paid for her funeral. he paid to have a mausoleum, an above ground mausoleum built for her. But what her family didn't know was that he had the only key.
It's and the secret garden.
And he was secretly visiting her grave every single night. Okay.
Oh my God.
It gets so much worse. It gets so much worse. So then, eventually, I don't know how long this went on, but it went on for a while. But then it was just not enough. Carl needed more. So this motherfucker sneaks in at night to the cemetery and steals her corpse and takes it home. Into his home.
Oh my God.
He takes this poor girl's body home. And he believed, genuinely, he genuinely believed. Sorry, I couldn't talk there. It was too much.
You were scared.
I was just so scared. He believed that her spirit would talk to him. And that he believed that she asked him to take her out of there and take her home. So he took her home. And then.
This is like Lars and the Real Girl.
But so much worse. He then proceeded to try and preserve her body.
Oh.
So some of the details here. If you're squeamish, maybe fast forward a few seconds.
You know I am.
So he reinforced her bones with wire. Okay. He made new skin for her using silk and wax. I'm sorry, it's the truth. These are facts. You love facts. He used silk and wax to try and preserve her skin. He gave her glass eyes, because as you can imagine, they weren't going to last long.
He's like, I ate the real ones.
And as her corpse continued to decompose, as they do, he would just continually try to patch and repair her as much as he could, as best he could. He made a wig out of her own hair as it would start falling out. Oh, it was horrible. God. He kind of stuffed her with rags to kind of...
Where's his wife?
Good question.
She's just like upstairs.
No, they didn't
bread?
Live together. They didn't live. They had a weird relationship. Right. Okay, yeah. Sorry. I think she lived nearby, but they didn't live in the same home.
Far enough away. Okay.
And he would, he kept her on his bed, y'all.
Mm-hmm. No!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. He lullabied her to sleep.
Shh.
Oh, my God.
And he would use, perfume and, disinfectants to try and cover up the smell.
Oh, my God. I don't even want
but
to
I'm sure
going
to him,
with this.
I'm sure, well, I mean, you, I'm not going to go into detail, but you can imagine, people. You can imagine.
Stop. Confirm it for me. Did he
they actually didn't
make love with this silk body?
They didn't confirm anything publicly around this time when this was happening, but I think later on there was somewhere it was written that he probably did. Like there were details about how he did it, but we don't need those details.
No, I definitely don't need to think about that while I'm trying to fall asleep later tonight.
No. So, perfume, disinfectant, rotting corpse. Let's see here. So this goes on for years, okay? He brought her home in 1933 and wasn't caught until 1940.
Oh. Did the neighbors not complain
nobody,
of the smell?
Nobody seemed to notice.
Were they just not like, hey, Tanzer, whatever your name is, why is your house turning green? Like, what the fuck?
Why are you covered in mold?
Oh, my God. Why do you smell like that? Like,
oh, gosh. So eventually, get this. Maria Elena, the poor human doll.
Silk corpse.
This poor girl. Oh, God, I'm so glad she was dead so she didn't know what was happening to her. But her sister starts hearing.
She knows. Amiga, you know how she knows?
She starts
on November 2nd, she came back to Earth and was like, what the fuck is happening to my body?
You need to make this stop.
You need to get to the other side.
So her sister starts hearing rumors about people that have spotted Carl, in his window dancing with what looked like a life-size doll. And she was like, And she was like, hello, police department, I'd like to report a psycho. So
did they
he was arrested.
She's
no.
Cuban?
No, he was actually arrested and detained. But eventually the charges were dropped because the statute of limitations had expired. So
that was awful.
So people seem to, like, view him as, like, this charming eccentric who was just romantic, you guys. No, no one understands. And after he was caught and stuff, like, her corpse was put on display. Like, what? at a local Where? Funeral home. She was put on display, and thousands of people went to go view her. Eventually, her remains were finally buried, and they were buried in an unmarked location so that no one would bother her ever again, hopefully. Carl moved to be closer to his wife. Oh, forgot about her. And she took care of him. I think she probably knew he was not not well.
This makes me upset.
And he became a citizen and wrote an autobiography. Isn't that cute?
About himself?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what an autobiography is.
And he continued to be obsessed with her.
Now I just, any man that looks at me, I'm going to be like, stop it. I'm not the dark-haired woman of your dreams. You are not going to take my decomposed body.
It's not me. You're not reinforcing my bones with wire. So he continued to be obsessed with her for the rest of his life, pretty much. He created an effigy, like a life-size doll version of her. And he lived with that doll until he died in 1952. Some people think that he actually had her corpse secretly switched with that doll that he made so that the real body was once again with him. I really, truly hope that's not the case because what the fuck? This poor girl's body was just disrespected in the nastiest way possible and people thought it was romantic? Get the fuck out of here. So... That is the story of the human doll.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For a new trauma.
You're very welcome. I mean, that was pretty good.
That was good.
So my next story, are you ready for it? It's horrible. Okay.
I'm still recovering from the last story.
I know. It was tough, but we can do this. It's for Halloween. Do it for Halloween. So,
anything for Halloween.
This is the story of the real Candyman, or... the man that killed Halloween.
Oh my gosh, the Candyman is real?
But it's not like the movie Candyman, it's different.
Oh, okay.
But it's just as scary, because it's real.
I'm ready.
Okay, so this story starts out in the 70s, 1970s, in Deer Park, Texas. We meet the O'Brien family. The head of the family is Ronald Clark O'Brien. His wife is Daneen, and they have two kids, Timothy and Elizabeth. Okay. So it's 1974, it's Halloween night, all the kids are super excited, they've got their costumes on, and they're getting ready to go trick-or-treating. Their dad is going to be taking them, and they're going to be, I think, joined by, like, two of their neighbor kids. So they set out, they start going door-to-door collecting candy, it's Halloween, candy time, and they get to this house, and they knock and knock and knock, and nobody opens, and so the kids just lose their patience, and they leave, right? But Mr. O'Brien decides to stay behind and keep knocking to see if he can... get some candy for his kids. So eventually he catches up with them and he's like, hey, they finally opened the door and look what they gave me. And he has these giant pixie sticks. And
the kid, they're like in another county. And they're like, dad, where you been?
Where were you? And so he hands them each one of these giant pixie sticks and they're super excited. And so they finish up trick-or-treating and everybody heads home. And Timothy asks his dad, he's like, can I just have one piece of candy before bed, please?
Typical kids. Of course. Asking for more.
Of course. Please. Can I have some sugar before I go to sleep? Please. And so he's like, yeah, okay. And he chooses the giant pixie stick.
Why? It's like the one thing you shouldn't pick. Ugh.
I mean, if I was going to pick anything, it would definitely be chocolate.
There's definitely like mushed up crystal in there and like teeth.
Ground teeth. Gross. So he takes the pixie stick and he opens it and he has some and he tells his dad, he's like, this tastes really bitter.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. It tastes bitter.
Yeah. And so not long after that, he starts getting really terrible like stomach pain and he starts vomiting. And so they decide to take him to the hospital, but he doesn't make it to the hospital because he dies on the way there. So sad. So everyone's panicking, thinking there's a serial poisoner out in the community. And so people, like, took all their kids' candy and, like, took it to the police department. Like, can you check this? Make sure there's nothing in it? And
what are they going to do? Here, why don't you taste it to make sure?
Can you run this through the lab? and so there's, you know, an autopsy. And it showed that he had died from potassium cyanide poisoning. And he, this is awful, he had consumed enough cyanide to kill 2 grown adults.
Whoa.
Yeah, poor baby. So all of the other pixie sticks were collected. Luckily, they were still around. Like, they were able to find them quickly. And the police started to investigate. They found that no houses on the 2 streets that they walked along had given out pixie sticks. I don't know how they figured that out, but I trust the story.
I don't. I trust need real facts and a video, CCTV.
Also, Daddy O'Brien, Ronald Clark O'Brien, the father, suddenly starts acting super suspicious.
I've been suspicious of him since you started.
Knew
the story.
You were. So he. He is full of excuses, and he seemed to be changing his story a lot.
He hates kids.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, police start looking at him like, wait a gosh darn minute. Something's not right here. This is when they discovered that Ronald Clark O'Brien was more than $100,000 in debt. He had trouble keeping a job, and he was about to lose his home and his car and pretty much everything. This average white man did what so many average white men do.
Oh,
he took out multiple life insurance policies on both of his children. And then he purchased cyanide, laced the pixie sticks with them, and gave them to his own children and also the neighbor's children. He did this to make it look more random and to, like, make it seem like it wasn't done on purpose. Didn't work. Didn't work, Ronald. Luckily, sadly, but luckily, Timothy was the only one that actually ate any of the poison.
He, literally took one for the
team. Poor baby. And your own father. What the hell?
Why? Why do people... I don't understand when people are in trouble, and I'm not going to mention anything about who they are, okay? I'm just going to say, when they are in trouble, why do some people choose... Why do some people think that death is the only way?
I don't know. It's something that I'm never going to really understand. It doesn't make any sense.
Letters. I would like emails. I would like to know. If you're one of these people that's like, I'm in a bind. I'm just going to kill.
I'm in a bind.
Can you just please let me know what makes you think that that's the solution?
It's tremendous. I'm upset. So Ronald Clark O'Brien was arrested on November 5th, 1974. And on June 3rd, 1985, it's a big chunk of time. He was finally found guilty of capital murder and 4 counts of attempted murder, and he was sentenced to death. He was executed by lethal injection on March 31st, 1984. So that is the story of the man who killed Halloween.
Oh my goodness, that's awful.
And that's,
this reminds me of the Los Feliz murder house that we've gone to so many times.
Yeah.
About that doctor that, I mean, it's a whole story.
But it's similar.
Yeah. He was in a bind. Mm-hmm. Again. Mm-hmm. Once again, he's in a bind. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, stressed over some invention. And it was, like, Christmas. Yeah. And he took a hammer to his wife and his daughter. Mm-hmm. The creep, if you've never heard about that, look it up. It's the Los Feliz murder, right? Something like the Los Feliz murder house. Yeah. And
it's a beautiful house.
A beautiful house. Gorgeous. Interesting. What was interesting about it was that after the murder, I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe it was either bought or passed on to the what used to be the maid, like the housekeeper of the family. And from what I remember, she kept it as it was for decades. Like, I think it wasn't sold until recently, like last year, maybe.
Yeah,
I
think so.
But there's a lot of photos from how it was kept, and it was like nothing was moved. There was still the Christmas tree and like wrapping paper and toys. And the housekeeper's son had inherited it, inherited the home at that point, and he just kept it for like storage.
Wow.
But even driving past that home and all the years we did, it was such creeps and such negative energy. And now I believe it was sold, and I'm not sure what they're going to do with it, but
Airbnb.
I'll tell you what. I wouldn't live there.
No.
Guess who wouldn't? Me. anyway, it's an interesting home. Actually, there are a lot of interesting, scary, haunted
yes.
locations in Los Angeles. So if you're not from here, and if one day you could ever travel here, I would definitely check out all the haunted spots.
Yes, absolutely. And we could probably recommend a few places too.
No, literally, just DM us. Slide into our DMs, and we're going to give you our guide. There, you know, we've made a habit of going on these, what we call haunted drives. Mm-hmm. And it started because we didn't have the money to afford the Los Angeles haunted tour. It was like
we DIY'd
of dollars. It. And we were like, really? Can we just like go on our own? And we started Googling stories and addresses. And we started just visiting so many different sites. Like we've been to the site where the Black Dahlia was murdered. Mm-hmm. We've been to Charlie Chaplin's home, Buster Keaton.
Oh, that's right.
We've been to Bela Lugosi's apartment. So many, well, not just celebrities, but classic stars. And then just, it's fun, but it's creepy. And we tend to do it at like 2 a.m. with high on caffeine. And anyway, maybe we'll do a video one day. Okay, so my story for you, Natalie, is a story that you've heard before.
And I want to hear it.
And you want, you're going
forever.
To
forever. I love hearing this story because you hardly tell it.
You know what? Because it's terrifying.
And I don't blame you.
And listen, I want everybody to know I'm mostly always just fucking around.
Yeah.
LOL everything.
La la la.
Memes are my life. But there's one story that I do not speak of. Because to this day, in fact, right now, right this second, my stomach started to fucking turn.
No.
It's something that happened to me years ago in a place, a dark place. So that place is called Hollydale. Hollydale is in Downey, California, off of Imperial Highway. If you're a local, you will know where it is because it's actually the original hospital, Rancho Los Amigos. Mm. Or as I call it, the Ranch of the Friends. So first I'm going to tell you the facts of this place. And then I'm going to tell you my encounter.
I'm ready.
And I want to say something before. When my encounter occurred, this place wasn't even viewable on MapQuest. Mm. So the fact that I found Google information now and all these facts now was very, it presented this place to me in a different light, mm-hmm. but fuck no, I would not go back. Okay. So Rancho Los Amigos, this place was built in 1888 and it was considered a poor farm. Mm. So let me kind of describe what that is. It was supposed to be a center where they were sending off a lot of the poor people, the disabled people, mm-hmm. the mentally ill people, and they were able to live there, get care there, but also work there because it was a farm. Mm-hmm. And they would pay their way through the work that they did. It was built because there was an overflow at LA County Hospital, and they needed to send these people somewhere. So, you know, LA County bought these 124 acres of farmland, and they built this campus. So, like I said, it was for the homeless and for inmates, and they had this doctor that they hired as their supervisor, Dr. Edwin L. Burdock or something.
I don't like his name already. He scares me.
No, he's kind. He's
kind. Okay. He's not like Carl
no,
Tanzler.
No. Not all men are evil. That's a lie. He was hired as a super, and he was actually, he had a history as a physician, but he was hired just as the supervisor of the place. Mm-hmm. Because he also had farming experience. And guess what? We needed a farm.
How handy.
Farming experience. So he was a super for 12 years, and it turned into more of an institution for mental illness. Most people performed light duties because a lot of people were older. So you know, you had a lot of seniors up in there. You had this dude that was like part of the Waterloo battle. I don't even know what that is. I just jotted it down. I'm gonna
in
Google
France.
It right after. And you had a lot of famous people from, like, other countries that came here. And now they're like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to go to the farm. Just live my life.
Where the friends are.
The ranch of the friends. Exactly. The friendly friends.
The friendly friends.
So this place is beautiful. Like I said, there's orchards, there's gardens, there's a farm. There is eventually an auditorium built, housing. There's, like, you know, there's a...
It's like a little city.
Yeah, like there's a post office. There was a church. There was this craftsman mansion in the middle of the whole thing. I mean, there's street signs. There's everything here. Oh. It's like a little city. Mm-hmm. But by the late 40s and 50s, the orange groves and all the hallmarks of the ranch were starting to go. And over the next couple of decades, it just became a medical center. By the 80s, mostly it was abandoned, and now it's just a ghost town. If you go there, or if you have been there in the daytime, you'll see that, or you'll know that it's still well kept. Like, the garden was, like, all the grass is cut.
That's horrifying to me.
and I mean, it still has the street names there. Yeah. You know, like, it's beautiful. Honestly, it's beautiful. Mm. Okay, so I want to tell you a little backstory before I get into my story.
Okay.
Just because it comes into play later. So in the year 2000, I lost my very close aunt. She was very young. She was in her 20s. And it was the first real death that I had ever experienced. Soon after she died, like within the same couple of days, some people in the family started telling each other that weird things were happening at their houses. Things were turning on and off. Things were moving. She was being sighted. And I was so terrified because I knew that I couldn't handle it. So I prayed and prayed and prayed to God. And I asked God, please, God, do not ever let me see anything that I cannot handle because I'm too afraid. And that was in the year 2000. Okay. So now I'm going to share with you my experience and why I will never go back to this place.
Do you want to hold my hand? Because I'm more than willing to hold your hand.
I'm more scared of driving home, so. Okay. So I started visiting this place back in about, it was like between 2008 and 2010. I went numerous times, and I always went in the daytime with my then boyfriend. You had to kind of drive in, from what I remember, through other buildings, and like, you couldn't really see it from the outside, It was kind of hidden, and it is actually across the street from the hospital now that exists, the new Rancho Los Amigos.
Okay.
So we'd go in there, we'd drive in there, and we'd pull over, park, or just drive around, because there are streets. And again, there are several buildings, and they're all kept. They all have boarded up windows, and some even have air conditioners in there. I thought it was weird, but I didn't think anything too crazy about it because, you know, the internets didn't exist back then.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do I know? It's just a beautiful abandoned place. So we would mostly go in the daytime. We went several times between 2008 and 2010, and we always stopped by, like, after brunch. Like, hey, let's go to our spot. We'd go and we'd drive around because, again, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
There really wasn't ever a never a time when anybody stopped us or we had any issues getting in. But then one day, we went at night. And so this time we just drove around. And I think it was my idea. And I was just curious to see what it looked like at night. And so we drove around at night. And this should have been my initial, Stephanie, you are one with God. Get the fuck out of here. Okay, because... We were driving around, and I got a little nervous. I said, well, you know, there is a no trespassing sign forever. So I was like, I don't know. Should we leave? And he was like, my then boyfriend was like, no, we're fine. Let's just drive around. It's beautiful here. Pitch dark, by the way. Pitch dark.
No, like, street lights at all?
No. And
oh my God.
I did notice that some of the buildings had lights on that were peeking through the boarded up, you know. The window. The little cracks. And then there was an instance where I said, oh, fuck, there's a cop car. Oh. And I remember, oh, my God, I'm getting chills. I looked back, and I see the headlights of a cop car, but it was a cop car from, like, the 1950s.
No.
And the lights flashed on, and then they flashed off. And I took it, I really, really took it as a sign of them saying, no, you're good. Go ahead. Right. So I was like, oh, they're cool. They're letting us go. And I really didn't think about the fact that it was a fucking ancient car until I got home that night. And I just was like, oh my God, that wasn't even a car of our times. Like, that was a car of a ghost car. Okay. So that kind of threw me off, but we went again shortly after, and this time we went at dusk. Now, note, every time we go, we've been alone. So there's never been another car or like any other people. Uh-huh. Okay. So now we go, and it's dusk, and we pull over, and this time we're going to walk around because we felt safe. We felt like there were more people there. There was a group of three. And so we're like, cool, now we can walk around. Well, no, not cool. So these people approach us, okay? And there is one girl who's just normal, one lady normal. She looks like a teacher.
Oh.
One okay. dude that looks like he repossesses cars. And one lady that, oh my God, she was gray. Oh. She was gray and she looked like she was dead. And she had this weird burgundy bob wig on.
Oh.
And sunglasses, she was so thin and so tiny, she looked like a corpse. And they approach us, and they're super friendly, and they ask us if we know anything about this place, because the young lady says that she has been researching this place for years, uh-huh. because she wanted to start conducting tours, but okay. couldn't find any information on it. Mm-hmm. So she kept going to research to see if she can find anything. And the guy that she was with, their repo dude, he was like, oh, do you guys want to see some pictures that I took last night?
No.
Okay, and this was the new age of digital, okay? Oh. So, like, I was still using the crank up camera.
Yeah.
The development. So, me being that I don't trust anything or anybody, I was like, no, I don't trust this man and his stupid photos. So in my head, he uploaded these, and these were already fake. Okay. Who knows? So he starts showing me these photos in his camera, mm-hmm. and he's going through them. My heart is racing, and he stops. He's like, look at the house, the mansion, the craftsman house. Look at this house. And we're standing in front of it, by the way.
Okay.
And he goes, look at what was here last night. And he shows me a picture of a close up of a little boy in an old time outfit with fucking glowing eyes, and he's sitting on a tree.
No.
Oh my God, right next to the mansion.
No.
And then he goes to the next one, and he goes, this was the church, and there was a nun, but like a fucking scary ass fucking nun with glowing eyes, and she was just coming at you. Ooh. Okay. I was terrified, but I told myself, no. Digital cannot be trusted. So in my head, he re-uploaded.
He
downloaded these to his computer. Then he touched them up. He faked them. And then he re-uploaded it into his camera, if that's possible, which it had to have been.
I
have agree. To tell myself yeah. that. So, okay. So then, meanwhile, he's showing me these fake-ass pictures. I was like, okay, why is homegirl corpse talking to herself?
Oh.
This lady was talking to herself, the one with the gray skin, uh-huh. and she was like having a full-on conversation.
Oh,
and then I look at the couple, or two people, and they were saying that she was a psychic, and that she could see ghosts and dead people. Okay, again, I'm a skeptic. I don't necessarily believe in psychics. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was immediately like, okay, they hired her and she's gonna give them a show, mm-hmm, right? But mm-hmm. she starts talking to my boyfriend at the time, and she starts talking to him about, oh, there's an old man who walks next to you. And he, of course, he's like, oh my God. Oh my God, it's my grandpa. And I was like, short of saying, okay,
everybody's got a grandpa.
You could say that about anybody. And he was just eating it up, right? Okay. Okay. So the couple and the lady talking to herself, ask us if we want to kind of join them on a little walk-around tour, because she had obtained some information that she was, like, down to share with us. And I was excited because, hey, yeah, I didn't know anything about this place.
Yeah.
Except it turned out to be information that I wish I had never had heard.
No.
She told me a short story of a lady who had OCD, and they didn't quite understand it at that time, and they couldn't control her constant hand washing. Mm. So they chopped off her hands.
Oh.
And she just couldn't bear with the fact that she couldn't wash her hands.
Oh.
So she bashed her head into a tree.
Oh, my God.
And there was still a stain of the pool of blood.
No.
The bashing. There was another story of one of the patients who was a male. And this story is a little, there's a few versions of it. But one of the versions is that he was gay. And they were trying to treat him for it. And he was just sick of the treatment. Aww. And he got a knife and he went to the mansion where the supervisor lived. And he tried to kill him. And somehow he ended up, I think, landing on the knife. And he died himself. So these were the two I remember. Mm-hmm. But she was telling us countless stories of things she had uncovered from files that she'd gotten a hold of.
I want. Where'd she get those files?
Exactly.
So shady.
I'll tell you where. So here's the thing: if you go there, and if you've been there, and you are able to actually bravely break in and get into these halls and these offices, you'll see that everything is still intact. There are still beds. There are still blankets. There are toys. Ooh. There's laundry on the floor. Okay. There's filing cabinets, paperwork everywhere. If you looked up at the section where there are apartments, you'll see the windows are shut out, but there are still shower curtains that you can view from down outside.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like somebody just up and left.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like something happened and people literally just got up and walked away.
Bye.
Like, hey, guess what? This never happened. and it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you don't actually know what happened there. And there's, like, more terrifying is, why has it not been touched? Okay?
Yeah.
So we're walking around. They break into one of the halls, which is where I personally saw the teddy bears and the beds and all that.
Oh, okay.
It was horrifying. And then we start walking down this alley. Okay? And we're all walking, the five of us. It's getting a little darker. And I start feeling funny, you know, and I was kind of learning about, I didn't know about anxiety back then. So now that I look back, it kind of felt like anxiety.
Okay.
And I started feeling funny and I started kind of panicking and we're walking. Mm-hmm. And I remember I held on to my boyfriend's hand and I just squeezed it so tightly because I didn't feel good. I was getting dizzy and all of a sudden I went cross-eyed and I just internally panicking because I thought, oh my God, I'm with these people and what am I going to do? Yeah. And right when I went cross-eyed, they all start screaming.
Oh, Jesus.
Like wailing. And I can't see. So I feel him yank me. And he yanks me and we start running. And I'm like, what the fuck? Oh my God, I can't even see. I'm just running. And I'm like, what's happening? A panic attack. And we get to the car, and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. Like, I cannot fucking see. I'm cross-eyed. And slowly my vision starts to come back. And he's shaking me, and he's like, are you okay? Did you see that? I said, no, I didn't see. He goes, you didn't see that? I said, no, because I have a panic attack. He goes, there were shadows running from one side of the wall to the other. Shadows just running back and forth.
No, you
didn't see the shadows? And I was like, listen, I told you once before. I didn't see a damn thing. And it wasn't until that second that my heart dropped because I remembered in 2000 when I prayed to God and I asked him never to show me anything that I couldn't handle. And Natalie, that's something that I cannot handle. we ran back to the car and I remember I got him in there, locked the doors and I held his hand and I prayed and I asked whatever was there, whatever we had disturbed to just, I'm sorry. And
please stay here.
I didn't know that it was that. So then, okay, now I go home alone. I lived with my mom and I'm sitting there. And I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was fine. I was a little shaken, but I was fine.
Shaken, but not stirred.
Right. just right. And, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting, in a recliner, and she's sitting right next to me, and all of a sudden, I feel fingers prickling my entire body, like from my scalp to my arms, to my armpits, to my knees, to my feet. I just feel
all
over, and I couldn't even speak. And I just remember I started crying. And I remember I was just so scared because I didn't know what was happening, and it wasn't anxiety. Okay, that was not anxiety.
Yeah.
And I looked over at my mom, who had told me so many times not to go there. And I looked over at her, and I couldn't even say words. And my hand was on the couch, the armrest, and it was sprawled out, and I couldn't move it. But I could just feel all these prickling fingers. And she turns over, she sees me crying and not saying anything, and she grabs my hand, and she knew that I'd gone there. And she said, "It's okay." And then she started praying.
Aww.
And the minute she did that, I felt the fingers literally leave my body, like from the top to the bottom. And instantly that sensation was gone. And she, you know, she asked me, she's like, "Oh, you went back?" And I was like,
"Maybe."
Yes. It was awful. I've never been so terrified in my whole life. It's a memory that I don't even like to think about. I don't like to talk about.
Don't blame you.
It haunts me. I am afraid now. I never want to fucks with the dead.
Never.
That's my account, but encounter, I mean. But if you go online, which I have, right after that time, back in 2010 at that point, I Googled whatever I could, or if Google didn't exist, whatever internet was available to me, I looked up every single piece of information I could. And back then there were only some message forums, message boards, and MapQuest. And MapQuest didn't even show it on the map. There was zero information except for a few people's own encounters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there wasn't any videos, there wasn't anything. All I could really find out was that sometimes it was used as a police training or a fireman training, yeah. I think
I've read something
like that. And that's why it was kept up. But nothing explaining why everything was still there. It was still intact.
Yeah.
And in 2016, from what I read, some Marines found some dismembered body parts in an old freezer.
What?
Yeah. So apparently there was no foul play there. So they say, but who knows?
It was just where they kept the spare parts.
Yeah, just the extras that nobody wanted. They couldn't carry them when they escaped. I would say if you maybe can look some of these stories up, there's a lot of encounters that people have. There are a lot of videos. I don't know what it's like today. I would recommend everybody break in, but I would just say I don't know what it's like today. I personally would love to not have this feeling of fear attached to it so that I could check it out. But I was so scared and still am. And I learned not to mess with the dead. Mm. Leave them be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my scary story. Again, it's called Hollidale in Downey, California. How do you feel? More importantly, how do you feel for me? Are you sad for me?
I'm so sad for you. And you're...
Did I carry this with me?
You're so brave. So...
This is our Halloween episode.
That was it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, you are all very brave. We're very proud of you.
I'm brave.
So brave.
They are listening to me tell my encounter. I need to be celebrated.
Send all your messages of support directly to
support
Stephanie.
And any advice needed, I'm here for you. I just have a lot of great things that I can advise you. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
this
guys.
Is our episode, and we want to say Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Bye.